Blog Talk Radio.
To speak louder.
you're all right. You don't have to speak louder. You're all right.
Are you sure?
Yeah.
Now, I missed a lot of your show last night. I apologize. I had a few too many there last night. But let me say this, man. I'm glad to be on your show. I'm a little concerned about Pastor Kent. We are at a week straight. He's not returning my emails. He's not returning my phone calls. And he's not showing up for his show. I don't know what's going on. I'm getting a little concerned about him. It's like he fell off the face of the earth.
I haven't been in contact with him either. I don't know what's going on with him. He must have something going on with his sister, okay? That's the only thing I can think of.
Yeah, I don't know, but it's got me a little concerned. Maybe nothing happened to him, you know? He's got a lot of health issues, man.
Yeah. He's getting up there in the years.
Yeah, aren't we all?
Yes, 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 yes. Every day we get older.
I was saying in my church the other day, last Sunday, man, I was in church and I said to my parish, I said, look, man, you can't let life kick you in your ass, man, because if you do, it will get the best of you. You have to be strong. For our Lord Jesus Christ, you got to be strong, man. You got to go on. You can't give up. Always push forward, man. Always push forward in life. I'm where I'm at in my life right now because I push forward, man. And you can do it too. All you guys, the younger guys out there listening, man, just push forward. Find something you're good at and then do it. That's all you got to do, man. Just find something you're good at.
That's right. Find something you're good at. That's good advice, Pastor Leroy. Good advice.
Well, you know what? The bottom line is with me, man, I didn't make it past 10th grade in high school, okay? I was a dropout, man. I went to 9th grade in high school, and because I never went to school, I didn't get promoted to 10th grade, so they left me back in 9th grade again, man. And then I just quit. I was 15. I said, that's it, man. I'm done with this, man. I learned enough. My opinion, high school diplomas today, they ain't really worth jack shit anyway. High school diplomas aren't really. Doesn't really matter if you got one or not. And then you got to spend thousands upon thousands of dollars, man, to send your kids to college. To a good college, it could be in the hundreds of thousands of dollars, man, per year, per semester.
I know. I racked up some debt going to school myself. Yeah, I know.
Bottom line is, you don't have to go through none of that shit, man. You don't have to go through none of that shit, man, if you find something you're good at, a niche. Whatever you got, man, whatever you could come up with, whatever you feel inside that you are good at, follow through with it, man. That will be your success in life, man. Just follow through.
Amen. Yeah.
That's so what
true.
I did.
So there you go. There you go.
Everybody's good at something. We're not, I'm not good at everything. Trust me, man. There's a lot of things I'm not good at all and would never even do. But there are things I'm good at. We're not all good at the same things. We're all good at different things, man. Like, as far as me, like, working on my house and stuff, I hate doing that shit, man. I just hire somebody to come over and do it. I don't want to go out and cut the grass, man. I'm 60 years old. I go out there in the summertime. I'm going to be dead, man. So I hire somebody in the neighborhood here, comes down and does my grass.
There you go. Yeah.
Too old for that shit, man. How about you, Pastor Ken? You used to cut your grass, man.
Yeah, I still cut my grass.
What about your better half, man? What does he do?
He does the same thing. He cuts the grass, too.
Well, that's good that you guys are still doing that at your age, man. That's a good thing. But you got some hot, you got some really hot weather down there, man.
Yeah. Well, yeah, it gets up in the hundreds in the summertime.
Ooh. Yeah, we don't get that much here, you know, in Manhattan. But I'll tell you what, man, we do have some hot summers here. But then all of a sudden the seasons change quick up here, man. We go from like 95 degrees to like 65 degrees in a matter of like 6-7 weeks, man. And then we drop another 20 degrees 7 weeks later. So right now, man, we're freezing our asses off up here, man. I'm freezing my ass off right now. In fact, you know what?
Man,
turn the heat up, man.
Yeah, I know. Yeah. Yeah, the weather changed. Yeah. Oh, right. Well, let's get into the message for tonight. Amen. All right. It's titled, Don't Neglect God's Salvation. Open your Bibles to Hebrews chapter 2. When you hear the word drift, what comes to your mind? If you grew up in an area of the country where cold winters, you may think about snowdrifts. If you're into NASCAR, you might think about race cars intentionally skidding to navigate a tight turn. That's called drifting. If you're a pilot, you might be thinking about wind drift and how the wind affects your aircraft in flight. If you didn't sleep much last night, in a few minutes you might be drifting off to sleep. So the word drift can mean many things. If you catch my drift. But in our text today, we're going to see that there's a kind of drifting that is very dangerous. Look at Hebrews chapter 2, verses 1 to 4. In the book of Hebrews, there are five warning passages. The first, the writer of Hebrews warns his readers from slowly drifting away from God, drifting away from his word, and drifting away from the good news of Jesus Christ. This kind of drifting is dangerous, destructive, and difficult to watch when it's happening to someone you love. One of my favorite actors is Tom Hanks. He's incredible. You can see his movie Castaway. He plays a FedEx employee named Chuck who's stranded on a deserted island. Chuck is so lonely he makes friends with a volleyball and names it Wilson. Wilson is a constant companion. When Chuck is trying to make his big escape from the island, his raft crashes into a huge wave, and unbeknownst to Chuck, Wilson falls off. When everything settles down, Chuck realizes Wilson is gone and sees him bobbing in the waves in the distance. The current keeps taking Wilson farther and farther away, and soon Chuck realizes his volleyball friend cannot be rescued. So if you've seen the movie, you know it's an intense moment when Chuck is constantly screaming, Wilson, Wilson, I'm sorry, Wilson, and he breaks down weeping. Tom Hanks is a pretty good actor when he can make you cry over a lost volleyball. But you know what? There are thousands of Christians who are like Wilson. They've been slowly drifting away from a place of great joy, passion, and service for the Lord. We all know people who at one time were faithful, fervent servants of the Lord, who have just drifted away from the Lord. That may be you today. Drifting is something that happens slowly and subtly. Okay, it's almost imperceptible while it's happening. And one day you wake up and realize you're a long way from where you used to be. But here's the bottom line truth about spiritual drifting. You never drift towards holiness. You drift towards ungodliness. You never drift into faithfulness. You drift into faithfulness. Okay, you never drift toward obedience. You drift toward disobedience. You never drift deeper into the gospel, but you drift farther and farther from its grip. So as we are going to see, the writer of Hebrews is going to warn both believers and non-believers about the danger and destruction of spiritual drifting. I've broken this passage into three chunks to help us understand this warning a little better. We're going to look at the context of the warning, the context of the warning, and then the causes of the warning. Therefore, we must pay the most careful attention, therefore, to what we have heard. See that the word, therefore, it's a word of application. It means everything. I just told you this is what you need to consider, or this is how you must respond. He's pointing back to what he's already written. What was the chapter one all about? We spent 3 weeks talking about it. It's all about the supremacy and superiority of Jesus Christ over every aspect of Judaism. The writer reminds his readers that God has spoken many times and in many ways to man. But his last word, the most authoritative word, came through his son Jesus. He argued that we should listen to him and love him because he is the son of, is the radiance of the eternal God. The son is the visible manifestation of the invisible God. The son is the one who created the whole universe and today holds it all together with the word of his power. It is the Son, Jesus Christ, who now sits at the right hand of the Father and to whom everything belongs. The Son of God is greater than all the prophets of God who came before him. They certainly delivered an important message from God, but Jesus is God who came with the message. The writer even showed from the Old Testament how Jesus is greater than all the angels and as magnificent as they are because it was the Son of God who created the angels of God. The reason for the vivid reminder of the identity of Jesus was because the Jewish believers had begun to drift away from the truth of Christian faith. They had heard and believed the goodness of Jesus, and he fulfilled the law of God with his perfect life. He voluntarily gave his life as a sacrificial, atoning death for their sins. And he rose victoriously from the grave, proving that he was God in the flesh, and had defeated sin, death, and the devil. But they were struggling in life. They were going through some tough times of persecution from both the Roman government and from fellow Jews who had rejected Jesus as the promised Messiah and stayed within Judaism. To find some solace from their suffering, these Jewish believers were tempted to give up their faith in Christ and go back to more familiar and more comfortable rules and regulations of the former religion of Judaism. And the writer of Hebrews says, are you kidding me? How could you ever consider going back when you already have something and someone so much superior? So the first time they heard the gospel, it was revolutionary. Saved by grace. Wow, that's amazing. You mean I don't have to observe the Sabbath rules and dietary laws? You mean I no longer have to go to the temple and have an animal sacrifice for my sin? You mean I can go straight into the presence of God and worship and prayer and no longer go to a human priest? That's wonderful news. That's amazing news. But the more they heard it, the less amazing it seemed and less it gripped their hearts. So that can happen to Christians today, can't it? You've heard the gospel of grace so many times that it has lost its sense of wonder and amazement. It's like the first time you drive. You're thrilled and excited. You feel so free and grown up. He knows every car, every sign, every horn honking at you for messing up. But after you've driven hundreds of times, it's lost your wonder, appreciation, and your attention. Now you're upset with gas prices, traffic, and other dumb drivers. Now you can drive for days, and it registers no thrill, gratitude, or appreciation within you. It's old hat. It's no longer a privilege. It's just part of the routine. Unfortunately, that's how we get with our relationship with Christ and his word. We used to be captivating and now barely interesting. In the book of James, we are warned about the dangers of being hearers of the word, but not doers of the word. The Bible becomes a buffet where you pick and choose what you want to believe and how you allow it to pack your behavior. That's what these Jewish believers were experiencing. You might say it when it came to Jesus and his glorious truth. This world was gone. The passion was gone. They were looking for something else outside of Christ, outside the gospel to bring them joy, hope, peace, and contentment. That's the context of this warning. Now let's look at the content of the warning itself. We must pay the most careful attention, therefore, to what we have heard, so that we do not drift away. Two phrases to understand with this warning, both are nautical terms. They have to do with sailing. One is the action, the other is the result. Pay the most careful attention. To tie up your boat to the harbor, you want that boat to stay right there, so you focus carefully and attentively on fastening it to the dock in the harbor. What if you don't take time to tie your boat down securely? What will the boat probably do? It will drift away. So drift away, it doesn't happen quickly. The boat doesn't suddenly speed away. It just lazily and casually drifts from the dock, out of the harbor, and out of sight into the sea. The writer of Hebrews is warning believers that we don't constantly and attentively attach ourselves and secure ourselves to the good news of the gospel and the truth of God's word, we will slowly but surely drift away from it. So if you've been a Christian for very long, okay, you know spiritual drifting is a consistent threat to your walk with God. You know how easy it is to lose spiritual focus and fervor, right? I have known very few Christians who have intentionally decided to stray away and drift from God. But I know hundreds who have unintentionally done so. What happened? They lost focus. They failed to pay the careful attention to the daily disciplines of the prayer, Bible study, and personal worship. They got distracted and focused on a multitude of other things in life. Before they knew it, they had drifted far away. It didn't happen overnight or even a week or two, but gradually over time, there was a noticeable difference between them and God. So have you been there? Maybe that's you today. You don't feel as close and connected to God or the ways of God or the mission of God like you once did. Here's the reality. The longer you allow yourself to drift and farther away you away drift, the harder it's finding the way back. It wasn't that Christians set out for that to happen. It's not intentional. It was due to neglect. So how shall we escape and if we ignore so great a salvation? Some of your Bibles say neglect. How shall we escape if we neglect so great a salvation? These Jewish Christians were on the verge of rejecting the gospel and going back to Judaism. But they didn't move direct from receiving Jesus to rejecting Jesus. No, they had gotten to the point of considering rejecting Jesus and the gospel because they had allowed themselves to neglect and ignore tying up the truth in every day. So most of us in here have probably sung the old hymn, Come Thou Fount. The word says, Come Thou Fount of every blessing. To my heart to sing thy grace. Streams of mercy never ceasing, call for the songs of lovers' praise. The third verse always gets me. It says, prone to wander, roar, I feel it. Prone to leave God, I love. What's it referring to? It's a spiritual drift. You may know the words of the song, but do you know the story of the man who wrote these words? The writer of Come Thou Fount was a British Baptist pastor named Robert. He penned those words at the age of 22 in 1757. He had begun converting under the preaching of George Whitfield at the age of 26. He became the pastor of a Stone Yard Baptist Chapel in Cambridge. He preached salvation through Jesus Christ alone, and the church grew to over 1,000. But after a few years, Robert started drifting from what he had heard. A liberal Unitarian professor challenged his belief in the Bible. Robert literally fulfilled the words of the song, prone to wander. Lord, I feel it. Prone to leave the God I love. In the letters to friends, he indicated he had embraced Unitarian doctrine and no longer believed Jesus was God. He stopped reading or preaching the Bible, and the church began to decline. Over several years, he lost his joy of his salvation and struggled in the ministry. He was miserable. According to the Bible scholar Warren Worsby, one day Robert was traveling in a stagecoach from Cambridge to London, and a young lady was reading a book. She turned to Robert and said, Sir, this is a wonderful hymn. Do you know it? He recognized it as Come Thou Fount. He broke down and confessed he had written the words of the hymn as a young man, but now he had felt that he had wandered far from God. The young lady said, But as you wrote, God's streams of mercy are never ceasing. And through her encouragement, Robert was restored to the Lord and rediscovered the joy in his salvation. He started believing and preaching the Bible again, and he faithfully served the Lord until he died at age 55. So what happened? He put his attention back on what he first heard and believed. He tied and attached himself once again to the good news of the gospel and the truth of Scripture, and the Lord stirred in his heart again. That's what the writer of Hebrews is wanting these drifting Jewish believers to do. You go back to what you first heard about the glorious gospel and give it your undivided attention. Amen. That's what we need to do. We just need to go back to the gospel and give it our undivided attention. Amen. All righty. Well, if you're out there and you do not know the Lord Jesus Christ as your personal Lord and Savior, you will have a chance to do so right now. All you have to do is simply say this prayer after me. Say, dear God, I know that I'm a sinner, and there's nothing I can do to save myself. I confess, make a complete helplessness to forgive my own sin or to work my way to heaven. At this moment, I trust Christ alone as the one who bore my sin when he had died on a cross. I believe that he did all that will ever be necessary for me to stand in your holy presence. So I thank you that Christ was raised from the dead as a guarantee of my own resurrection. As best as I can, I now transfer my trust unto him. I am grateful that he has promised to receive me despite my many sins and failures. So, Father, I take you at your word. I thank you that I can face death now, that you are my Savior. So thank you for the assurance that you will walk with me through the deep valley. Thank you for hearing this prayer. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen. Well, if you said that prayer, we here at God's Rainbow Ministries would like to know that you will walk with God, and we would like you to sit there and call in, okay, and tell us that you accept the Lord Jesus Christ as your personal Lord and Savior. Amen. And if you said that prayer, we would like you, okay, to come into, okay, into our call line and call area code 657-383-1487. Once again, that number is 657-383-1487 and press the 1 key. When you press the 1 key, you'll come on live, and we'll know that you accepted the Lord Jesus Christ as your personal Lord and Savior. Amen. Well, we got some callers here. I'm going to take some callers. 111.
Hi, Pastor Ken. This is Jerry Schwartz. This is Jerry Schwartz from Jerry's Deli and Pastry Works. How you doing today, Pastor Ken?
I'm doing great. How are you doing?
Oh, it's my first time listening to you, and I'd like to send you a cake to your house, part of Jerry's Deli and Pastry Works. You know, we are from Reseda, and we are from the porn capital.
Our pastries are
adult pastries.
Okay.
So out of the perfect, I'd like to send you a taste of our pastries just to see how you like it.
Oh, okay. That sounds great. Yeah.
Pastor Kent.
Yeah.
Do you remember a show? I'm sure you do because you're about my age. Back in 1977, called Welcome Back, Cotter.
Yeah.
Do you remember Arnold Horseshack on that show?
Yes, I do.
I believe that's who you got on the phone right now, man.
Okay. Hey, how'd you know? How'd you know that was me?
I didn't.
Hello? I bet you know that was me. I'm Horseshack. Horseshack from back in the day when back of that Carter.
Well, that's
I knew
great.
It, man.
That's great.
I knew it.
You know, I'm a struggling actor, and I try to get, you know, the stuff, but I can't get no runs, man. So, I'm waiting for Welcome Back, Carter Part 2.
Ah, yeah, me too.
Jiggle. That's why I work at the Jerry's Fair Service Pastry Works.
That's good. Well, you, at least you're working. Amen.
Yeah. A lot of women like them pastries.
Oh, that's good.
Yes. They
so,
like the size.
What is that adult pastry there, Jerry? Oh, okay, he hung up. Okay. Well, let's take another 111 and see what we got. 111, you're on here.
Hello.
Hello.
Hello. My name is Billy.
Welcome back. That same old place that you laugh about. Well, the names have all changed since you hung around. But those dreams have changed and they stand around. And the cosmic
creature. They've got to make that where we meet you. Welcome back, welcome back.
Ken, can you hear me?
Need to hang up on the other caller.
Ken, I want you to talk to you.
Yeah.
Ken, do you know Dr. John Barnett personally?
No.
Okay, Dr. John Barnett, he's a pastor in Oklahoma, and he wrote that prayer that you just read.
Okay.
Dear God, I know that I'm a sinner and there's nothing I can do to save myself. I confess my complete helplessness to forgive my own sin. That's from Discord moderator Eric.
Uh-huh.
Oh. This is Tony Furtado.
Okay.
Ken, please take more calls. More calls.
Okay, I'm going to put people on mute so we can take more calls. Okay. All right, 111, you're on it.
What is this, man? You got me on mute?
No, not yet. Pastor, why are you not on mute? 111, you're on here.
Hello, Pastor Ken. My name is Frank Ballman. I have hearing aids, and I am a deaf guy. And with hearing aids, and I'm offering my support to Pastor Ken on his hearing journey. And Lou Ferrigno had his type of hearing aid, and Dick Nolan has hearing aid, you said, and Dan Garza, and I want to offer my help with hearing aid, and wish you the best.
Well, thank you very much, sir. Okay? Yeah, I'm getting them through the VA, and they're taking good care of me.
I went deaf when mother beat me and held me under bath water, and now I went to school and better can hear and want you to do good and no frontata abuse and mess up hearing even more. Thank you.
All right. Okay, well, thank you, sir. Thank you. All right. Well, okay, I'm going to put you on mute. Thank you for calling. Okay. I got another caller here. 111. You're on the air.
Orale! What's happening in there, eh?
Hey, what's up, Beanie? How you doing?
I'm doing all right. Hey, I heard you're a sponsor with Lou Ferrigno?
No, I'm not.
I saw that on a picture, man, you and Lou Ferrigno about the fish Rigno hearing aids.
Yeah. Well, I don't really know anything about that.
Oh, man, how's you and him, hugging each other, man?
Oh, really? I've never seen it. It must be in post.
Are you sure that's not you?
Yeah, it's got to be in post.
Yeah, man. You know who Lou Ferrigno is, right? The Hulk. The original Hulk.
Yeah. Yeah. Yep, I know that. Yep.
So you never heard of the Fish Rigno hearing aid?
No, I have not.
Oh, man, it's going to be success, man, just because of you, you know?
Okay,
I'll
get my hearing aids from the VA, and they're taking great care of me, so I'll stick with the VA.
Orale, you going to put me on mute now?
Yeah, I'll put you on mute and take another caller. All right, B.
Orale.
God bless. All right. 111.
Hello? Hello?
Hello? Hello?
Can you hear me?
Yeah.
I have a hearing loss. My name is Gary Jasper, and I'm a deaf comic. Can I tell you a few of my jokes?
Sure.
What do you call an old man with his hearing aid turned off? Anything you want, he can't hear you. I've decided to start a business selling hearing aids to pirates. I'm going to charge a buccaneer.
There you go.
The old man was sitting on the examining table in the doctor's office having his hearing checked. The doctor poked his light scope in the old man's ear and said, "Hey, you have a suppository in your ear." "Rats," said the old man. "Now I know where my hearing aid went, up my ass."
Okay. All right.
I got one more. What do you call an old man with his hearing aid turned off? Anything you want. He can't hear you.
Okay. All right.
Did I see that already?
Yes, you did.
Oh, probably I can't hear you. That's why I repeated a joke.
All right. Well, thank you. God bless you.
I really like microwave tacos, too. Can you share a recipe?
I don't have a recipe for microwave tacos, no.
Shit. Okay. I gotta go.
All right. Bye-bye. All right. Okay. Well, let's take another caller, 111. You're on the air.
Sir, this is Alec. I need a hearing aid, too.
All right.
Why don't you just give me your hearing aid? Mama, you son of a bitch. There went hearing aid and went in here and here and here.
Yeah, okay. All right. Okay, well, thank you, caller. Okay, for calling in. God bless you.
Man, what kind of calls are we getting tonight, man? Hold on, Pastor Ken. What's going on here tonight, man?
I don't know. It's just people calling in.
Yeah, it seems like we got the, like this is the death hour or something, man. Maybe I should start learning sign language, man. What's up with all this?
Well, you know, since I found out I'm losing my hearing, okay, I got to wear hearing aids. I'll get them in January. So I've been getting callers like that.
Well, I'm very sorry you're losing your hearing, man. That's a terrible thing. Is there a reason why? Like, did you have a trauma when you were younger?
No. It's just something that's happening gradually.
No, it's a shame. I'm sorry to hear that. But, you know, hearing aid will help that, so that's a great thing, man. But, you know, don't let these callers get to you. It's all good, man.
Oh, yeah, I ain't letting nobody get to me. No. All right, we got another caller here. 111, let's bring him on.
I forgot to tell you one more joke. Cougar gets so old, she needs a hearing aid. She becomes a deaf leopard.
Okay, all right.
What do we want? Hearing aids. When do we want them? Hearing aids.
Yeah, okay. Well, thank
you,
sir.
Does anyone know how long it takes to fix a hearing aid? I sent mine away 2 weeks ago and heard nothing since.
Okay. I don't know how long it takes to fix a hearing aid. I'm new to this hearing aid thing, okay? I'll be getting mine in January. So I have to go in for the fitting then.
Finally got my new hearing aid. It's great. I can hear everything.
That's great.
Good. What did you pay for it?
5:15.
Uh-huh.
What do you call it?
Okay.
When Tony Farrar jizzes in Kenny's ear. Hearing aids. Get it? HIV?
No.
Bye, I gotta go.
Okay,
bye. My battery's low on my hearing aid. I gotta charge my battery. Goodbye.
Goodbye. Okay. Another 111 caller. Let's see what we got.
I need a hearing aid. I need a hearing aid. Come on, Pastor K. Hearing aid. Oh. I need a hearing aid. I need a hearing aid. Come on. Yeah.
Okay. Anything else?
I want some cheesy poops.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah. Oh, yeah? Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah?
Okay. All right.
Okay. Pastor Ken, you still there?
The what?
Pastor Ken, are you still there?
Yeah.
Okay. I got a problem. There's a guy who's trying to imitate me, but he speaks with a real, real crazy voice. And he goes by the name of Tony Gaga. Personally, he's stealing all my material. This is Eric Cartman, and I'm from South Park, and I'm going to sue the hell out of his ass.
Oh.
Because he has to respect my authority.
Okay. Well, I'm sorry to hear that. hear that. I didn't know that.
Well, now you know. And now we talk about him.
Okay, that's right. And now everybody else knows, too. All right. Well, thank you. God bless you.
Thank you, son of a bitch.
Bye. All right. Well, that's it for the caller so far.
That was a pretty good, I'll tell you what, that last guy that called in, man, that was a pretty good imitation there from South Park. You did a great job, man.
Yeah. Yeah, you did.
If there's no callers, man, why don't you play a little music for a little while, man?
Yeah, I was thinking about that. Oh, we got another call.
Maybe
hold
like,
on.
All right, cool. Cool.
111 on the air.
Fast again.
Uh-huh.
It's Grover Washington.
Uh-huh.
What's wrong?
Nothing. I'm tired of the lies you've been telling, Grover. You know you shouldn't lie.
Well, you tell me which one's wrong.
Just about everything you're spewing out your mouth.
Like what?
You've been over to my house, and I have a glory hole for the suck penis. Okay, come on, Grover. That's wrong.
What the fuck? What the hell is that? What? What is that, man? What did I just hear?
Yeah.
That ain't what a pastor is supposed to say.
I'm just repeating what you say.
I didn't say those words.
Oh, so they're lying.
No, I said, blow job, drain the balls. I did not say suck penis.
Oh. Okay.
Are you depressed?
It means the same.
No, it just sounds better what I said.
No, it don't.
You ever ate Pringles?
Yes, I have had Pringles.
I got the original kind, and I put my mouth in the can, and I talk. Does it sound different?
Yeah.
I'm talking in a can of a Pringles. All right, I took it away now.
Okay.
Can I come by later and pick up some leftovers?
No.
You just put it in a Tupperware and put it out on the porch there.
I don't have any more leftovers.
What the hell did you do with them?
We ate them.
Fat fucks.
Yep.
Hey. I heard that you stole a prayer from Pastor John Barnett.
Yeah. No, I didn't steal it. It was written, okay, and I just shared it.
In your chat room, you got a guy named Internet Friend. He says, I've taken a shit in a Pringles can once. I've never done that to you.
No. I never have.
In the chat room, this guy named Internet Friend looks like he's special. Look at his picture.
Yeah. I guess he is.
This Dr. John Barnett, he went to Michigan State University, Bob Jones University, Dallas Theological Seminary, and something else I can't read, Francis Scott Key or something. Oh, wait, that's the dude that wrote the anthem.
Yeah.
Star Spangled Banner. And yep. do you think that song's hard to sing?
Well, it can be.
Well, it goes way too high, if you ask me.
Yep. I think it does.
Where's your boyfriend?
He's in the living room watching TV.
You own that PlayStation?
We have a PlayStation, but we don't use it.
Why not?
I'm just not at the game.
One time I was over there and you let me play it. We played that Sonic the Hedgehog.
No.
You got that new Spider-Man game for PlayStation?
No.
Well, from what I heard, the Spider-Man game, you can shoot webs and it goes psst, psst, psst.
Oh. Okay. Well, I don't know. I don't play games like that.
Well, you did that one time I was over.
Never been
over. You got
over
that
my
surround
house,
sound.
Though.
You got that surround sound system in the living room. Remember?
No.
Yeah, you do.
No, I don't. You've never been in
you
my house.
You don't play video games. You don't play video games. You only play anal games.
No, I don't play anal games either. Okay, good night, Grover. God bless you.
Why are you hanging up on it?
Yeah, I'm hanging up on you. All righty. Well, okay, guys. I'm going to call it a night. Say good night to everybody. God bless you. Have a wonderful night. See you tomorrow. Bye-bye.